tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Junkies and the freaks, and Jesus rides the subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves, and he looks a lot like everyone he sees. Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sing. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. Oh, baby, you can kick around. shine. Where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But Jesus went to church on Sunday. They didn't recognize him. He said, you can lay your burden down. Burning, lay your burden.
Welcome to the Hope Show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in with me on this fabulous Saturday morning. The sun is shining here. It's great to be alive. First of all, I'd like to say that Shaziz and I have some very dear and special friends, Cultus and Shannon, along with Shannon's son staying with us for this next week or so, and we are extremely excited to have them here with us. They will be popping in and out of our shows from time to time with us this week, and we are looking forward to some great fun during this day. I want to start out this morning's show by reading something from Pastor Jeremiah Stepak. I have read this on one of my previous shows, so perhaps you've already heard this, but I want to share it again because I think it's so worthy of mentioning. Jeremiah Stepak transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000-member church that he was to be introduced as the head pastor at. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only 3 people out of the 7 to 10,000 people actually said hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church gave him any change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in front of the church and was asked by the ushers if he would please sit in the back. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements. When all that was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. We would like to introduce to you this morning Pastor Jeremiah Stepak. The congregation looked around with anticipation, clapping, and with joy. The homeless man was sitting in the back, stood up, and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped with all eyes on him. He walked up to the altar and took the microphone from the elders, who were also in on this. Paused for a moment, and then he recited, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? When did we go to visit?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" After he recited this, he looked toward the congregation and he told them all what he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today, I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple?" He then dismissed service until next week. Being a Christian is more than something you just claim. It's something you live by and you share with others every day. Today's message is a question. What did Jesus mean by "judge not"? What did Jesus mean by "judge not"? Before I continue with today's message, I would like to say that I have not had any formal education on this subject. I will be simply giving the message the way that I believe God would want me to. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged"? It's one of the most commonly used Bible verses in Matthew 7. There are variations of the same verse throughout the Bible. First, we have to understand what "judge not" means. The word "judge" can be used in 2 different ways. Sometimes judge means to judge between things, to differentiate or discern. But in this case, in the verse of Matthew 7, it means to judge between right and wrong, good and evil, righteous and unrighteous. Jesus does not forbid the first definition used. He doesn't forbid the judging act of discerning. In fact, throughout the Bible, we are reminded and we are commanded over and over again to have a discerning spirit. This pertains to having the discernment to see the difference between good people and evil people. As said in Luke 6:43 through 45, it speaks of comparing people to trees. Good trees produce good fruit, while bad trees produce bad fruit. In this case, we are all called to differentiate good from evil, judge or discern between the two. However, in the second illustration of judge not, the Bible goes on to further say in Matthew 7, "With what judgment you judge, you will also be judged. And with the measure that you use to judge, it will also be measured back to you." Therefore, is it fair to assume that it is wrong to pass judgment of any sort on anyone? Though it is only human, with first impressions, to judge or try to sum up a person on such short notice. But these first impressions are not always accurate, and in fact, they seldom are. They are only based on the short amount of time that you have met them, and they're not completely factual, folks. Have you heard the old saying, you can't always judge a book by its cover? It takes more than a few moments to get to know someone, what they are and who they really are. First impressions, outward appearances, don't always match with what is in a person's heart. Another translation for the word judge is to condemn. That seems a little harsher, doesn't it, folks? To condemn someone. Sounds pretty harsh. But God is saying, when He talks about condemning someone, is that we are incapable of seeing a person's heart. Only God can see your heart. We are just humans. We cannot see the depth of what God sees in each of us. We don't know what a person's heart is. We don't know what their relationship is to God. We are not capable of judging that. We are not to take the place of God in making such a judgment about someone based upon an outward appearance. We do not know what their motives are, whether they have salvation, what has happened in their lives, and so on and so forth. One of my favorite sayings is, do not judge someone until you have walked a mile in their shoes. That is so true, folks. Have you ever thought about that? Do not judge someone until you have walked a mile in their shoes. You have not lived their life. You have no idea where they are coming from or what they have dealt with. Look at ourselves. We are not perfect. We have made and continue to make mistakes. We should think of that before we go judging someone else. We should be humble. We should have humility in our hearts, knowing our own weaknesses and sins. Think of all the grace, the love, and the mercy that God has showered on us every single minute of the day. Every single minute of the day, God does not give up on us. And we should not give up on someone else. Are we worthy? No. We are not any more worthy than our fellow brother or sister. We have done absolutely nothing to deserve God's love and grace and mercy. And yet, with all of our flaws, He gives it to us anyway. Do we think that we are better or that we deserve more than the next brother or sister? Folks, the Bible clearly states that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a tree is known by its fruits. Can people see the type of fruit that you carry in your heart? Do people know you by your fruit? What kind of fruit are you sending off? You know, what kind of fragrance are you sending off of your fruit? While we cannot see the heart, we can see the action. There are times that God calls us to discern others' actions because of the way that their actions may affect us personally. For example, we are to avoid angry people and those who sin because they may rub off on us by guilt by association, so that we may not be tempted to sin ourselves and to fall into that trap. We are not to judge where a person stands with God, but we are to discern both good and evil, so that we are not caught up in that trap that's set before us. By doing this, this is how we grow in wisdom and avoid falling into such problems. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, people universally seem to know the verse, "Judge not," don't they? Think about that. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, everyone seems to know the verse, "Judge not." I don't know, but perhaps this is because we live in a culture that is more tolerant than it used to be in the olden days. In the olden days, 40, 50 years ago, think about the changes through the ages from then to now. Society is so much more tolerant of things that would not be tolerated at all back in my dad's day or my grandfather's day. Our culture preaches to us that love is to be tolerant with other people's choices and lifestyles. And any attempt to correct a way of thinking is to be seen as close-minded or hypocritical or even arrogant. Mother Teresa once said that if you judge people, you have no time to love them. That is so true, fellow brothers and sisters. So true. If you are angry with them, if you are judging them, you don't have time to love them. We need to be loving people and stop judging. So what do you think about the idea of judging other people? Should it always be wrong, no matter what? Should it always be avoided at any cost? Is it arrogant to point out things in other people's lives that are considered wrong or evil doing, especially if they don't ask your opinion? Is that wrong? What about the court of law? Remember that it is proclaimed that only God can be our judge. What might Jesus have to say about these questions, do you think? Let me refer back to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And I want to break down each of these verses for you to just see what Jesus has to say about this. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus says, "Judge not." Judge not, folks. It clearly states in the Bible, "Judge not, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure in which you use to judge someone else, you will also be measured in the same way. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye when there is a log in your own eye, folks? Think about that. It says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In the first two verses, Jesus clearly states, do not judge. Do not judge. I can't repeat that enough, emphasize that enough, folks. He gives a very clear reason why we are not to judge others. Jesus commanded us not to judge others so that we would not be judged ourselves. As you read through the rest of the verses, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye when there is a log in your own? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and you will clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What is Jesus teaching against? Think about that. What is Jesus teaching against? What is the point that he is trying to make? Is he teaching merely the fact that you shouldn't judge other people? No, I don't believe that's the point that he's going to. He is actually teaching against a very specific kind of judging. The type of judging Jesus is teaching against is the blind, ignorant, hypocritical, self-righteous judging that overlooks all of our own faults, failures, and sins, and only sees the faults, the failures, the sins of our fellow brothers and sisters. That is the very specific kind of judging that Jesus is teaching in the Bible. I believe Jesus is going after the pride that is in a person's heart, which makes it easier to see someone else's flaws above our own. Think about that for a moment, folks. How easy it is to look at everyone else, to judge everyone else, and not see our own flaws. And what did Jesus mean when he coined the word hypocrite? What did Jesus mean when he coined the word hypocrite? Being a hypocrite means you're pretending to be something that you are not. You are pretending to be something that you are not. Jesus is going after those that wear a mask so that other people will not see who they really are. And I'm sure, folks, that if you think about it, you know several people in your surroundings, in your community, that you would consider to be a hypocrite, that they wear a mask, that they want you to think one thing about them when they are indeed another. Think about that. Do you want to be considered a hypocrite in front of others? When you wear the mask, posing as something that you are clearly not, being hypocritical and judgmental, you are actually looking down on others because you want others to think that you have it all together, when in reality, you certainly do not have it all together. Clearly, if you did, you wouldn't be behaving in this way in the first place. This kind of attitude goes way, way back to the beginning of creation. If we want to be completely honest with ourselves, it's an attitude that is present in all of our hearts. If we are to be completely honest with ourselves, folks, doesn't each and every one of us have a little bit of that in our heart? But for believers, we have to ask God's help every day and strive to be more and more like Christ every day. I believe that the article of Pastor Jeremy Stepak and the song, Jesus Rides the Subway, are excellent reminders of what we should be doing and how we should be acting, how we should be behaving. That's probably why these two illustrations are so very dear to my heart. Another thing, if we are to be completely honest with ourselves, being critical of other people is human nature, isn't it? No matter how hard sometimes that we try not to be like that, we still have a tendency from time to time to judge or to be critical of others. That doesn't make it right. It is the fleshly side of us, the worldly side, and not the spiritual way that is within us. We humans tend to think we always see things right and everyone else is wrong. We humans seem to be quick to find fault and condemn other people, when indeed, if we were to look at ourselves in the mirror, not one of us is better than the next. Why do you think that is? While you're thinking about that, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we will discuss that further when I return. The first song I'm going to play for you is by a band named Plum, and it's called Need You Now.
See you. thing you think about. You're the reason that I'm alive. You're what I can't live without. You're what I can't live without. You never give up when I'm falling apart. Your arms are always open wide. And you're quick to forgive when I make a mistake. You love me in the blink of an eye. I don't deserve your love, but you give it to me anyway. Can't you get enough? You're everything I need. And when I walk away, you take off running and come right after me. It's what you do, and I don't deserve you.
Thank you for tuning in today to hear The Hope Show. It is such an honor to have all the support and love of my listeners each week. And speaking of honor, it is such an honor for Shaziz and I to finally be able to meet our beloved friends, Cultus, Shannon, and Shannon's son, face to face, and actually have them staying with us for a while. It has been so incredible. They arrived yesterday, and we are having a blast. And so Shaziz and I are so very, very excited about this. And we love you guys, Cultus and Shannon. I know you guys are listening in the other room, but I still want you to know, and let the whole world know too, just how special you are to us. At the beginning of the show, I played the song, Jesus Rides the Subway. I'm sure you are all familiar with the tune, as I have played it many times on my radio show. It is one of my favorites. Then I opened with an article from Pastor Jeremiah Stepak, where he talks about going to pastor at a new church and transforming himself into a homeless man, and his experience with the church he was supposed to pastor at that morning. He was looked down upon, neglected, ignored, asked by the ushers to move from the front pew to the very back of the church because of his appearance. He was denied pocket change for food when asking some of the church members. very poor treatment indeed in a church. And then, when he was introduced to the congregation as the new pastor, the clapping with anticipation turned to silence in the church as he made his way to the pulpit. He was reminded the church about what God had said. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, of my brothers and sisters, you did for me." Many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today, I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple?" He then dismissed service until next week and let the folks ponder upon that. When I read this for the first time, it made a huge impact on me that I shall never forget. If you are just tuning in today, the message is a question. What did Jesus mean by "judge not"? Before I continue with today's message, I would like to remind everybody that I don't have any formal education on this subject. I will be simply giving the message the way that I believe. If you are just tuning in, I would highly recommend that you go back after the show, after I've had time to upload the pod to my podcast page, and listen to the entire message. It is so important, folks. So important. Please invite your friends to listen, too. This is a message all of us, need to hear and take heart to. Before the break, we were talking about how we humans tend to think that we are always right and everyone else is always wrong. We humans seem to be quick to find fault and condemn other people. I pose the question, why do you think that is? Why do you think that it's so easy to find fault and condemn other people? Though I am sure there are many reasons, I can recall seasons in my own life when I felt insecure or judged someone because I thought I knew better than they did. All of us can find reasons for judging others, but the fact of the matter is this. Many times our own judgment is hindered by our own pride and our own ignorance. It has blinded us from seeing things with clear perspective. Blindly judging someone can be very dangerous in several ways. I'm going to list two examples here. Number one, it can cause us to wrongly interpret what is happening in another person's life. An example of this is this. Perhaps you know of a boy or a girl who never talks. It's easy to judge that person as stuck up or full of themselves. But as I mentioned before, we all wear masks. We all wear masks. We all have pain. We shouldn't jump to conclusions because we don't know if that other person was abused at home, if they lost a parent to death, or if they're keeping some secret that is weighing them down. I am able to relate to this because when I was a very young child in early elementary, I had been molested, and for a few years I would seldom talk because I was burdened by many emotions. This behavior was mistaken for that either I was a snob or I was just painfully shy. But either way, I was labeled and I was misjudged, but I didn't feel any desire to correct them. My plate was already full. Explaining took too much energy, and I knew that the other children wouldn't understand anyway, because we were all very young, or it would cause me to be even more ostracized than I already was. I was in a no-win situation, so I preferred to let them think what they wanted. At least this way, they just left me alone to my own thoughts. And number two, it can also cause us to wrongly estimate ourselves or others. What does that mean? What does it mean to wrongly estimate ourselves or others? We are all a little blind and prone to self-deception sometimes. For example, one morning a person may be walking through their bedroom and trip over a pair of shoes. How many of you folks out there can raise your hand right now and relate to that fact? You get up out of bed one morning, you're walking through your bedroom, and you trip over a pair of shoes that's in the middle of the floor. Perhaps your first instinct is to start judging your mate for not picking up after themselves and leaving them shoes in the middle of the floor. But wait! Then instantly, we are humbled, and we are convicted of the fact that when we look down, it was our own shoes that we tripped over. In both of these circumstances, Jesus says to take the plank out of our own eye. Take the plank out of our own eye. Above all, we are called to speak truth. Speak truth lovingly and respectfully to one another. The truth that comes from wisdom and from the reading of God's Word and applying it to our daily lives. Jesus' words about judging, Jesus' words by judging can then be summarized in this way. Don't go around with a self-righteous attitude that points out where others have failed while first neglecting to evaluate your own flaw. God hates dishonesty. God hates dishonesty. However, with all of this said, there is also an opposite and equal danger. In Matthew 7:6, it is stated, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." With this verse, the point that Jesus is pointing out, the danger of being overindulgent and undiscerning, in loving our enemies, in going that extra mile, in trying not to judge unjustly, we can also fall into peril of becoming wishy-washy. Wishy-washy in our beliefs. Wishy-washy in the truth, the spiritual truth that God has set before us, and failing to make the very important distinction between right and wrong, truth and lies. We are not to be judges, taking God's rightful place, but we are not to be naive either. We should not withhold opportunities to disciple to people But we are to acknowledge that after multiple attempts and being met with rejection and or mockery, the time may come that we must move on to others who are in need. If you have tried to speak to someone the truth, tried more than once, twice, three times, and it just doesn't seem to get anywhere, there comes a point in time that God says perhaps you should move on to the next person to disciple. So this takes us back to the next question. The question that I said before. What did Jesus mean by judge not? What did Jesus mean by judge not? After this short break, we're going to dig further into what that question means.
Torn between myself and your truth, these cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more, till I found myself face down on your shore. Say, come to the river, oh, lay yourself down. Let your heart be found. You say,
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you're enjoying today's message. Thank you for joining me today. I will be having two very special guests live and in person with me later on in the show, as I will also be bringing my wonderful husband, Shaziz, on air with me, too. If you are just tuning in, please go back after the show has aired, and it has been uploaded to my podcast page, and listen to the entire show, folks. It is well worth your time to do so. Invite your friends to listen as well. Today's message is so, so important. We, as in all of us from all over the world, need to, must get this message out to the world. Please help me to do this. I want to throw a quick reminder in to all my listeners that I have launched a new program called Dear Hope. If you are faced with trials or tribulations, or if you just want someone to talk to, or even to just say hello or share some ideas with, please send me a letter to bjmiller34200@yahoo.com. That link, once again, is bjmiller34200@yahoo.com. Everything you send to me is confidential, and you can choose to also send it anonymously. I respond to your letters as quickly as I possibly can. I can guarantee you that I will respond within the same day, but most likely it will be in a few hours, within a few hours of the letter being sent to me. So tell all your friends, and please, please, please encourage everyone to utilize this new launch. I am here to be of service to you in any way that the good Lord sees fit to use me. For those of you who missed the link, I will repeat it again at the end of the show. If you're just tuning in today to the message, the question is, what did Jesus mean by judge not? What did Jesus mean by judge not? Before I continue with today's message, I would like to say that I have not had any formal education on this subject, so I am just speaking what I believe that the good Lord will want me to put out there for all of you. Before the break, we were talking about how we should not withhold opportunities to disciple to people, but we are to acknowledge that after multiple attempts and being met with rejection and or mockery, that the time may come to move on to someone else's needs, to help disciple someone else. And so this takes us back to the question again, what did Jesus mean by judge not? What did Jesus mean by judge not? Here are 10 things that I compiled that you should know and share. The first thing, we are not to cover for immoral behavior. God does not want us to cover for immoral behavior. Jesus' words about do not judge lest ye be judged was not meant to be used as a conversation stopper to shut down attempts to admonish people engaged in immoral behavior. Number two, we are not to cover up sexual misbehavior. Jesus has a lot to say about sexual immorality in the Bible. Even being mentally unfaithful, folks, is a sin. Number three, it is not a prohibition on admonishing others. Jesus never intended for his words to be used to stop others from correcting others when they're committing a sinful behavior. Jesus never intended for his words to be used to stop others from correcting others. So we are to correct other people in a loving, respectful way when we see them doing something that is out of God's will. Remember, the Bible tells us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Correcting people who sin is a spiritual work of mercy, folks. A spiritual work of mercy that we all need to engage in. Number four, it is not an endorsement for a false position that is incompatible with the Christian faith. It is not an endorsement for a false position that is incompatible with the Christian faith. This would mean taking Jesus' teachings out of context. It's the idea that all moral judgment regarding the conduct of others are to be suspended, and each person is allowed to define what is morally good for themselves. This way of thinking also is self-contradictory. If it's wrong to make a moral judgment regarding others' behaviors, then it is wrong to judge others for judging, right? So this brings me back to the old question. What did Jesus mean? Number five, you have to know what Jesus actually said to know what Jesus means. And that requires you to open the good book, to study it. The first step is trying to make sense of it, to look at what Jesus actually said. We can do this by going back to Matthew and Luke. Paraphrased, these say, judge not, ye be judged. With the same judgment you pronounce to others, you will also be judged. In the measure used to judge someone else will be the same measure that is given back to you. Then it goes on to say, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will be given too. I like this part right here. Good measure, pressed down, shaken up, running over, will be put into your lap. That is so good, I want to say that again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken up, running over, will be put into your lap. God is so good. God is so good. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Is that not completely an awesome verse? Number six, an elaboration of the golden rule. This would be considered as what is said in Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law. So, do to others what you would have them do to you. There is a warning hearing that we must take heed to. God will treat us as we treat others. Let's think about that for a moment. Let's look back on our lives for just a moment. Look back at how we have treated someone else in our lives. Perhaps we've treated someone like this for many years. Perhaps we are in a pattern of a certain kind of behavior toward other people. God will treat us as we have treated them. This is stressed in Matthew 5:14-15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. That's pretty clear, folks. I don't believe there's much, you know, that's just pretty clear. There's nothing more to say, you know. God will treat us as we treat others, and if we forgive others, God will forgive us, and if we don't, then God's not going to forgive us either, folks. It can't be much clearer than that. And number seven says, lest ye be judged. So this poses the question, by whom? By whom will we be judged? And the answer is God. God himself will judge us. We are not to judge other people, because God will judge us individually, uniquely, upon our own experiences, as God will judge others upon their life experiences, their actions, their deeds. So we are not to be bothered by that. We are not to be involved in that. It is not our place to replace God to judge someone else. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So in number 8, what does Jesus mean? What does he mean by that? It is blatantly obvious from Scripture that God will judge us according to our deeds and our time here on this earth. Folks, let me remind you, no matter what age you are, in my case, I'm middle-aged. Time is running out for me, folks. I don't have a moment to waste on judging someone else, because God will judge me. If I were to die tomorrow, he would judge me based upon the actions and the deeds of my 44 years on this earth. How would I sum up? How would I look in the face of God? How would I be judged? How would I make out on that, you know? What would be the end result? Would I have done good enough? Would God come to me and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? There is no time to waste to turn your life around. Don't think, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Don't think that you have a tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day, because tomorrow is not guaranteed, folks. We only have today, right here, right now. And no one knows the time that our time is up. Don't waste another minute in sinful behavior, in judging others, because God will judge us according to our deeds and our time here on this earth, no matter if we're here on this earth 20 years or 80 years. But I'm here to tell you, folks, if I'm only on this earth for another 10 years, I want to make the most of it. I want to make it count. I don't want to come before God. And I don't sum up, you know. The Bible says there will be two judgments. One will be the last judgment at the end of the world. And then the second will be at the end of our earthly lives. So there is no question of escaping God's judgment. There is no question of escaping God's judgment. But the big question is, how will we be judged when that time comes? The golden rule has divine backing. It says if we treat others with mercy, God will be merciful with us. But if we don't treat others with any kind of mercy, we will not receive any mercy from God. When the final judgment day comes upon us, we will not be judged mercifully by God if we haven't shown that same grace and mercy to others throughout our lives. So in other words, we should be treating other people as we would want God to treat us. That, folks, is some mega fuel for thought. How do you want to be treated by God when that day comes? On a scale from 1 to 10, how are you doing? How do you rate? Is there some work you need to do? There's no time like the present, because tomorrow's not a guarantee. Number 9, what kind of judgment do we want? Think about that. What kind of judgment would we want? the human side of us would probably say that we would prefer it if God didn't judge us at all. To simply not hold us accountable for anything we've done. There would be a part of us that would then say, we can do anything and get by with it without any bad consequences. But this is the twisted, broken, fleshly part of ourselves trying to find any loophole that we can to make ourselves look better. If we're in our right mind, we would be asking God to judge us with mercy and compassion and forgiveness. But in order for that to be for ourselves, we must first show that to other people. We can't skip that important step in our life and expect it to work out for us in the end. And not just once or twice here and there, but consistently, every day, be purposeful in your life every day. And number 10, so why didn't Jesus just say it that way in the very beginning and skip all the other stuff in between? Why didn't God just get right down to the point, right out of the gate? Why did he have to go through all of this? Jesus often says things in a way that is meant to make us think about what is said. He uses parables or comparisons to make a point. Jesus says words that will make a bold and striking, memorable point to us. Something that we really need to think about. The process of thinking about that draws us into a closer appreciation and understanding of the meaning of what he says. And so you see, folks, if he jumped over all of that, if he skipped over all of that and went straight to the point, we wouldn't get it. We wouldn't get it. We've got to have all those other things in place. Something to think about, something to ponder, to truly appreciate and understand what Jesus is trying to say to us. Jesus also wants us to give other people the benefit of the doubt. Show some leniency. Give people every opportunity to right the wrong on their own without correction from us. Jesus first wants all of us to give people the benefit of the doubt. Think about this for a moment, folks. God's a very powerful man. He could just come down and zap each and every one of us at any given second of the day. Because we all make mistakes every single day. Not one of us is perfect. Not one of us is any better than the next. God could come down and zap us any second. But does he? No. Think about your own life. Think about the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs and the lows and the highs throughout your entire life. Think of your mistakes. Think of what you've done. And now think of what would happen if God had came down and zapped you the moment you made a mistake. But no, God's love and mercy, God's grace, gives you the benefit of the doubt every day. He shows leniency to you every day. And he gives you that opportunity to right the wrong on your own without that zap. And we owe it to everyone around us, our fellow brothers and sisters. We owe them the same grace and mercy that we get every day that we don't deserve. No one deserves it. Maybe not that next guy, not your fellow brother and sister. Maybe they don't deserve it either. Maybe they don't deserve your forgiveness or your grace or your mercy. They haven't done anything to earn it. But brother and sister, neither did we. And God gives it to us anyway. And we need to think about that when we're dealing with other people in our lives. Think about all the times of grace and mercy and love that God showed us, and pay it forward to your brother and sister. Jesus wants us to wrestle with his teachings. He wants us to dig deep to the very depths and find that hidden treasure within those book covers. So now, I have tried to give you what I think Jesus means by judge not. And so I leave with you, what do you think? What do you think? How do you rate on a scale of 1 to 10? If tomorrow you weren't here, how would you rate when you came before God and he judged you? How would you rate? Is there some work that you need to do today in your own life? Is there a log in your own eye that you need to remove to show you clearly the speck in someone else's? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? I want to share a poem with you before having my husband and my guest join me. The poem is, "Never Judge a Book by Its Cover." You can never judge a book by just exploring its cover. It is when you open it up that you soon will discover. Looking on the outside, the story may seem apparent. But the inside holds the truth, but may be transparent. Not visible to the human eye, as if looking into a blank page. Not knowing the book you're trying to read may be holding rage. All books have their own mystery, with its cover displaying hidden trickery. Just a front to what reality holds, the truth that lies within the folds. Tucked away deep inside, true life story of struggles the cover tries to hide. This book can be worn, torn and tattered, used and abused, broken dreams shattered. While visual perceptions may fill the cover with imitated smiles, the inside holds unforeseen deceptions from many of life's trials. You can never judge a book by its cover and how it's portrayed. Discover the truth. Feel free to invade. Pages and words could start to fade. Some may hold back in fear not to inconvenience oneself, while keeping their pages blank or book private sitting on the shelf. Invade those pages that you may have neglected. Think out the box. Get connected. Connect the cover to the pages and you will find it's through words that keeps a book bind. This was written by Brandy Pryor. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. I'm going to play you one song, and then I'll be joined by our great friends, Cultus and Shannon, and my husband, Shaziz. This song that I'm getting ready to play is "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand."
Ground is sinking sand. high in stormy gale, but my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, on the ground the sinking sand. Gather round and the storms overwhelm. When my heart breaks in half and my strength cannot last. When I'm lost in this land and I can't see a plan. When my world falls apart and the light turns to dark. When the clouds gather round and the storms overwhelm. When my heart breaks in half and my strength cannot last. When I'm lost in this land and I can't see a plan. My world falls apart and the light turns to dark. When the clouds gather round and the storms overwhelm. When my heart breaks in half and my strength cannot last. When I'm lost in this land and I can't see a plan. When my world falls apart and the light turns to dark. When the clouds gather round and the storms overwhelm. When my heart breaks in half and my strength.
Everyone, thank you for being here with me today and listening to The Hope Show. If you are just tuning in, we've been discussing what did Jesus mean by judge not. I would encourage you that if you are just tuning in, that you will find this pod dated March 22nd, 2014, after it's been uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com and listen to the entire message. It is so important, folks. So anyway, please ask your friends to listen in with you and share this message all around the world. This message has got to be heard, folks. Now joining me all the way from Australia and Indiana are Shaziz and I's very dear and special friends, Cultus and Shannon. And we are so very glad to finally meet them in person and be able to spend some extended time with them also. Woo!
Woo!
So I'm going to turn the show over to the other three for a bit, and we're all going to chat with you. So everybody jump in.
Hi.
Hello.
Is the water cool or is it hot? I like my water warm. Before I jump in.
Oh, okay.
Is that judgmental?
Yeah.
That's an observation.
So, what do you guys think about judging?
I'm thinking about how Shaziz should not flick his own switch there on accident with his shoulder and all of us go down in the lab.
It's unplugged.
Okay. Sorry, no, I was judging you.
That's a good judgment call.
Definitely.
I kind of live by the motto that I don't judge anybody. I just treat people just like Jesus said. I treat people the way I want to be treated. And since I don't want to be treated poorly, and I would like to leave a good impression as a lasting impression and a last impression every time I see somebody, because you never know when the last time you're actually going to see, whether it be a friend or a family member or whatever. So I believe that that's about the best go for me, and maybe other people do that too.
And you know, I'm guilty of judging myself. I mean, sometimes when I meet somebody on the street or something, I'm like, ooh, you know, look what they're wearing, or, you know, this or that. And I try not to. And the moment that I get that thought in my mind, I try to get it out as quickly as possible, because I know that that is not right. But I think it's human nature for all of us to do that to some point. But as far as, you know, judging people based on other things, you know, I came from a childhood where I was judged and labeled a lot, and I know how badly that hurts. And so I try not to judge, I try not to judge people by the heart in that way, which, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, judging is judging, and no matter on what level you judge, it's still wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, if you judge a book by its cover, you look at that mad science guy with the whacked out hair and you think he's an idiot.
But see, by doing that, you miss the whole point, because, you know, no one knows your heart. And, I mean, you could be just gold in the heart, you know, and your appearance on the outside, you know, I mean, maybe you're missing an arm, you know, maybe you have a mohawk or whatever, but, you know, if you judge on the outside appearance, you're going to really miss the great stuff on the inside.
Yeah, and truthfully, I'm so good looking, it makes me sick.
Whoa, we need a barf bag.
Makes me all sick too, don't it?
I am a very, not so much other people as I am judging myself.
Yes.
I am so guilty of judging other people also.
Your own worst
but
critic.
About myself. The negative things about myself, I do judge myself, and it's hard to get past that, to see, and this message has been so good for me, because I have to get past the things that are, I think, so negatively about myself in my past.
You have to love yourself first.
So that I can start looking in the mirror and seeing somebody beautiful on the inside and then on the outside, because absolutely, beauty is not just on the outside. And I can always look at models and stuff like that, and I don't compare myself to them. You know, I'm chunky and I like it. You know, I never want to be this thin person, but there are people that are thin that want to be, thicker or whatever. And so we all have flaws about ourselves that we have to learn to love.
And I believe that's the first step, is to love yourself first so that you can love someone
else. I do have a hard time loving myself.
See? And that's why I judge myself by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a big dude, man.
But I do understand what you're saying, Shannon, because, you know, I judge myself on my... But I know what you're saying, Shan, because I judge myself by my weight.
Yeah.
Because I was chunky as a child. Mm-hmm. And I was made fun of for that, and so I spent my entire life trying to control my weight to what I think I should be, not what other people think I should be. But I'm my own worst critic in that, because, and especially right now, where since I've had some problems since my accident and everything with my hunting, I've gained some weight, about 15 pounds, and so I'm very self-conscious of that. And, you know, so I'm guilty of judging myself as well. And then, too, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to get crow's feet and things are sagging, gravity's going south. And so I'm kind of self-conscious about that with myself, too, because, you know, I want to be the very best that I can be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally understand that. And hopefully this message will help me to see and look beyond what I see in front of me, like, every day.
Well, you got to step out of society's view of what you should be. You know, it's like whenever the mainstream media is always pushing out there, this is what models look like, this is what you got to look like, and it has all these little girls all depressed because they might look in the mirror and not see the same thing. You know, it's not the package, it's what's inside that matters.
And how can I teach my kids this if I'm not doing it myself?
Exactly.
And that's something I want my son to know. Mm-hmm. You know, that there are differences in people, and that I do stress to both of my kids, and I always have, about not making fun of people. Mm-hmm. I made that mistake when I was younger. I was the person making fun of people.
Yeah.
And yes, I did get made fun of, but I was mostly the person making fun of people, and that, you know, I had a horrible feeling as I grew older and knew and found out that one of them had committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
You know, and not because of me,
right,
but because of all of it. Yeah. You know, I was one of those people, and that I always use that story to my kids. You know, this is what happened to him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't running with his head down
yeah.
because he was stupid. He right. was running with his head down because he was tired of hearing the voices of right. people making fun of him.
Right.
You know, and then I was so sad when I found out that he had passed away.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I could never tell him I'm sorry now.
Right.
No, never.
That's right.
But I can always ask God to forgive me and then forgive myself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to forgive yourself, or how else can God forgive you?
That's right.
Because you can't move past it.
That's why you always got to make your first impression and your last impression on any individual the best impression. Mm. That's the way I go. Besides that, I'm not really no Don Juan, but I like myself.
Hey. So what do you think about this, Cultus? We've kind of dominated it.
That's all right. I had a bit of a think listening to your show today as well, and I'm not necessarily guilty of judging myself as much as I am judging others. It's something that I really need to step back and take a look at, and something I will step back now and take a look at. You know, I've not really put that much thought into the fact that I do, but I am very judgmental. And not through any deliberacy either. It's more of a subconscious, you know, just a human trait, you know. We're all guilty of at times, like even you were saying, you know, you see, and it's the same that I do. You know, I'll see someone in the shop or down the street, and, you know, I'll turn to Shannon and bag him out, you know. Like,
well, Beverly like, did a show a while back about labels, and society has a tendency to put labels on everybody.
Yeah,
you know, this
like
guy,
the freaky guy with the mohawk, yeah. You know, he has to be bad, you know. Why? Why does he have to be bad? Get to know him,
tattoos.
Talk to him. Take one look, like and to use my good buddy Shaziz here as an example, you take a look at a photo of him on the internet, and you probably think, what a whack job. Get to know him. Talk
and he's
to
still
him.
A whack job.
And you'll still work out that he's a total whack job. No, you'll work out that he has a heart of gold, and he's
wow.
probably one of the most lovable people and loving people that you will ever meet in your entire
Absolutely.
Life. The same goes for Beverly. You know, like, don't ever judge a book by its cover, you know. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and we behold each other.
That's
you know?
True. Very true.
Wished everybody could see the world at like I see it through my eyes.
I wish the world could see itself through my eyes too at times, mate. Would make
yeah.
things a lot easier on certain people.
Yeah, was that directed towards me, Cultus?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Kate, we all just get along. Peace and love and all that stuff.
Well, I raised my daughter because of the childhood that I had. I always raised her, you know, that don't ever let me catch you talking down on someone,
yes.
yeah.
you know, or bullying someone. Mm-hmm. And consequently, she was the one in school that the people who were new to class, she was the one that would grab them by the arm and take them out to the playground and say, come on, let's go play, you know, and she was always that one that was kind of like me, you know, she takes care of the underdog. And when nobody else would make them fit, she made them fit. And so I'm very proud of her for that.
Anytime you uplift a human spirit, you make our world a better place. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Yep.
It's very true. We all need to have each other's backs and be there to prop each other up. And
yep.
You know, without each other, we would surely fail.
That's
you know?
Right.
We would, because not everyone can go at it alone. No one can go at it alone. You can't be expected to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders alone.
Exactly.
You know?
I always can't understand why someone, or how someone, can be so mean.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm kind of glad I can't understand that in some ways, because how can you, why would you not follow a God who teaches you to be such a loving, giving person and how good it makes you feel.
Right.
You know, why would someone turn away from something that's so good?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I'm so thankful that my parents, you know, taught me. And I grew up knowing God.
Right.
We didn't go to church every day. But, you know, in my heart, and I don't go to church now. But in my heart, I know where God's at.
That's right.
I think that the dark side can be seductive because it makes a person feel powerful when they can diminish somebody else's being, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, we all agree that that's not right. But there are people out there that are seducted by power. You know, they want to feel like they're more powerful than somebody or better than somebody.
I think a lot of cases, though, in that case, they don't love themselves.
Right.
And so, you know, in order to make themselves feel better, they will bully others, you know, and drag them down with them.
And as a child, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was always trying to compare myself to the popular girls and things like that. And we didn't have money when I was growing up. So, you know, I'm thankful that we didn't have money growing up because I did learn good lessons from that.
Right.
And I got to see my mom struggle.
Right.
You know, and so then, you know, when I got older and I struggled, I somehow, with my kids and God, I have gotten them through it, and me too.
Right.
Yes, I have depression. Yes, I have anxiety, and I try so hard to make sure that I direct all that with God, and so that will diminish.
Right.
One day, I will be so happy when that finally goes away, and I never have to worry about that again.
Exactly.
On the popular girl, whenever I was in school, I fell in love with this real beautiful girl, man. She was just, in my eyes, she was the best. Well, I went and bought her something for Easter one time, and she smashed it and threw it in the trash can. Years later, I ran across her in the store, and I don't know what life did to her, but it wasn't very good because she was looking kind of rough. And I was like, well, maybe it was a lucky deal that she just, like, trashed my dreams back then. Because I'd have been married.
Unanswered prayers, mate. unanswered prayers are some of God's greatest
gifts.
Like
I say, I don't wish no ills on anybody, but it seems like karma did come around and didn't.
But you know, it works that way. Karma does come around.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Shannon was just talking about before how she can't understand how people can't, you know, love a God who's so loving and forgiving. And I think something that people develop is what I'm going to call unanswered prayer syndrome, whereby they ask for things in the wrong way, or they ask for the wrong things, or they ask for things that aren't in God's plan. And because those prayers don't get answered, you know, it's taken me nearly 33 years to find God properly, you know, and it's basically, you know, it's, you know, you don't ask for a Ferrari, you don't ask for things under a selfish nature. For God to answer your prayers, you need to come at it from a completely selfless angle. You know that.
Exactly.
it's to benefit all of mankind, or develop to help another, not get, you know, get me rich and get me a car. God didn't answer that prayer. He must not exist.
Right.
That's not how things go. You know?
I got to read Cultus a letter recently that I wrote in 2000. I don't even remember. It was like 2002 maybe or something. And I had wrote a letter to God about I wanted a son.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, my husband and I at the time couldn't have children. And so I felt in my heart that I really wanted a son.
Mm-hmm.
And so on this paper, I prayed to God, please give me a son, you know, whether it be adoption, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to help a child. I want to be their mother and show them love. And, you know, and it didn't happen right away. And I didn't understand. You know, I had gotten a foster son, and he went back to his mom, and it killed me. And I said, I'll never do that again. You know, I loved him. He's gone, you know. And then came to me, like, 2 years later, my son, Xander. And I get to be his mom, and I get to, you know, and I didn't realize how that, until later on, I found this letter, and I'm like, wow, God answered my prayer, not when I wanted it, but when I deserved it, and
well,
I needed
it. When you needed it.
That's
not,
right.
It's
when
not,
I needed
it's not about
it.
Deserving,
yeah.
It's about,
well, when I needed it, and
needing,
when,
and
you
when
know,
it fit into his plan.
And
yeah.
Also in God's perfect timing, too, because at the time you were praying for, it may have not have been the correct
right.
time.
Well,
it may have not
and
been
I
the right time.
And I would have got Xander. Right. I went and got my son, and now I have a beautiful son, and I get to be his mom and love him, and, you know, it's awesome. It's wonderful.
And I'm sure that you appreciate him so much more.
Oh, yes.
Everyone can look back onto their life, no matter how rough it's been, and you can, if you really honestly look at your life, the Lord didn't always give you what you wanted, but you always got what you needed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with that said, that's one of the importances of family. I mean, you got family or friends around. You're not going to go hungry. You're not going to be homeless. You know, we need to reach out to those folks that don't have families and try to help them out somehow. And just respect the blessings that we got, you know. What more can you ask for?
In my own life, there's been so many times, you know, mostly financial, that you know, I was down to the very last penny, and maybe I had a bill coming in, maybe it was an electric bill, and maybe I was faced with a shutoff notice, or, you know, these kinds of things, and you know, I was worried about it, and was just frantic, making myself sick, and so on and so forth. But, you know, worrying didn't solve anything, because, you know, it didn't change anything, but at that very last minute, when I was going down, something came along, God's perfect timing, and solved it.
Yeah, and I keep telling you, don't stress out, lady. It'll work out.
Here's a good saying for you. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It doesn't take you anywhere. It just gives you something to do.
That's right. Very true.
So, and I wrote that a long time ago in my Bible. I heard that somewhere, and I'm like, wow, I really need to. You know, you can rock and rock and rock all you want.
Right.
You know, your hair
it's not going to take you anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we should just give it all away.
And, you know, this is something, it's not about judging, but it's something else that I picked up on Daystar Television last week. On Sunday mornings, I always listen to several different shows on cable network that are Christian. And there was something on there which really spoke to my heart, because I'm somewhat of an impatient person, especially, you know, if I'm behind somebody in a car and you know, I'm just checking the clock constantly, and I'm getting frantic because someone's slowing me down, or I might get upset with my husband even before, you know, slowing me down some, and I'm ready and I'm wanting to get out the door, you know, and there was a message on there last week about patience. And it really spoke to me, because I've been really, really praying to God for patience. And it's not over the big stuff. It's the little stuff. It's just crazy stuff, you know, that just delays me in some way. And so it said that you should, let's see, what was it? It talked about slowing yourself down to the speed of another person. And I never really thought of it that way. You know, it was always in my head. It was my agenda, you know. I gotta hurry, got places to be. It was all about me, my agenda. And then all of a sudden, this message turned it around to the other person. And I never really thought of it that way. I was like, huh, wow, you know.
75 will get you there quicker, but 55 will get you there safer.
But you know, ever since last week on that message that I read, you know, I'll get behind somebody when I'm driving. I've had several incidents this week where someone will slow me down in traffic, and immediately I'll be like, oh, come on, hurry up, and then I'll think of what that message said, and I'll be like, slow it down to the speed of someone else.
Yep.
And that's patience.
And then you'll be driving beside them, and you can look over and smile.
Exactly.
You never know. They might have needed that smile that
exactly.
day.
Exactly. And I really needed that message last week, because that is something big for me. So.
Yeah. Don't stress the little stuff.
Okay. Does anybody have any last-minute things to say? We're down to the last 6 minutes of the show. It's been awesome.
Just y'all wish you could be here, because we're having fun.
We are.
All I want to say is
10 minutes worth of songs, do you?
Be patient with God, because He's patient with you.
Yep.
Exactly. That is exactly right.
I agree.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap up today's show. This has been a very memorable show for me in many ways. I shall not forget this in a very long time, neither Shaziz nor I, because thank you to Cultus and Shannon's son and Shaziz and everybody for being a part of the Hope Show today. Thank all of you out there, the listeners, for supporting me and listening and tuning in each and every Saturday morning to hear my message. And so I just want to say, until next Saturday, same time, same place, until we meet again, folks.
Yeah, we're surviving the Australian and Indiana invasion.
I believe there's someone else that wants to step in just for a moment and share something, too.
Hurry up.
Come on, Xander. Join us. Here's Shannon's son, Xander.
Peace and love to the world.
Woo! Yeah. Very good, Xander. Very good. So God bless all of you. Keep you safe all week. We love you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now was great.